any other questions that have come along since? Yeah, gentleman here.
Can you say your name? The microphone will be on its way.
My name's Richard Claxton. I'm a GP in Tunbridge. I just wondered what of these rules and parameters were followed in the first stage of data extraction from the hospitals.
From the hospital episode statistics? Yeah. They weren't, because they were in a different ballpark. So when the Health and Social Care Information Centre started the hospital episode statistics database and SUS system, the Health and Social Care Act 2012 clearly was not here. So these directions to require an organisation to give the information weren't there. So they had to do that through data protection. So they ask hospital trusts to send them that data as data controllers. So it's a data sharing agreement, data controller to data controller. It's a different ballpark, just because that was already happening. But as care.data's come in, rather than do it like that, I suspect because they recognise that as a data controller you can say no, you're not having it, they've brought in the requirement. So, you know, I suppose our concern, our very much our concern about getting this first phase GP extraction right, is that there will be other things coming down the line. There will be data extraction from care homes, possibly, mental health trusts. Yeah. So this is so that you as GPs are kind of for this system, for it being a legal requirement for you sending it to them. So DP being kind of on the sidelines rather than integral to it, you're the guinea pigs for that bit. But that's not the end game. There will be other data groups of data controllers further down the line that are in the same position that you're in now. Mm-hmm. My understanding of it.
Well, thank you. There's a question at the back there and a third row here. And then at the end of those two questions, I think we'll move on to Phil. However, there will be a question time at the end with Phil as well. So don't lose sight of your questions. And both of the presenters are going to be around for a short while after we've finished this morning. Okay? So can you take the top back there?
At a time where practice finances are severely squeezed, to put it mildly, to communicate potentially twice with all patients, that's a bill of about £16,000 for my practice. It's yet another reason why I'm retiring on the 31st of March, because I will then be a locum, and none of this crap is my monkey anymore.
Well, it's a valid statement. I would just be careful as a locum that you're not carrying personal data on your own laptop and things like that, and don't have to notify, I suppose, is what I'd say.
Okay.
Or you'd be stung for your £35 and then still have to follow all the rules.
Okay, next question.
Thanks. Dawn, it's Masood Nazir, I'm a GP in Birmingham. Dawn, I'm just checking, you know the bit about the awareness raising? So there's a bit about writing out to all patients. But also, Dawn over here.
Sorry, thank you.
Sorry, Dawn. Is there any guidance from the ICR about awareness raising and opt-out periods?
Let's take them separately. Yeah. In terms of awareness, the guidance from the ICR, there is a code. There's a code called the Privacy Notice Code of Practice. Mm. There's some pointers in there about what really needs to be done when you are fair processing, in other words, telling people. We're not prescriptive about how it needs to be done or how long you need to take to do it. I suppose the guidance we usually give to people is, if it is something monumental, a huge change like this is, then you need to, A, give it time, and you need to be telling people in lots of different ways. So it's not about just stick it on your website and it might take 3 clicks to get there, but it's there, or stick it on your notice board. Maybe 1 in 10 people will read it, but it is there and you can point to it and say, well, no, it was there. You know, if it's not something that's not going to really have any impact on anyone, they just need to know about it, fine. But if the nature of it is that it's actually quite a fundamental change to the way in which your data is being used, if there would not be an expectation that my data would be used in that way. I mean, I think if we use the analogy that quite often when we've been in care.data, lots of people who are very pro care.data quite rightly have said, Well, people give the data to people all the time. They give it to Tesco's without a thought. They give it to the bank without a thought. Yeah, they do, because they're giving it for a certain purpose that they know it's going to be used for. And actually, those organisations get themselves in very hot water when they start to use that data for other purposes that people would not expect of it to be used for. And this is very much in that ballpark, that when I've given my data to my GP, is my expectation that it's going to leave there, go somewhere else, and then might end up with somebody else? No, my expectation is not that. And that's why for us it's very important that NHS England and the IC communicate to you as GPs and us exactly what are you extracting. Because they're not taking free text, so we're told. They're not. But what are you taking? Yes. What exactly, as an individual, do I know is going from my, you know, is it going to go that I've got asthma, or is it just going to say a code? That maybe you would know what it was, and they might know what it was. But if it got into public domain, probably nobody would. Or well, are those codes available? Exactly. Are those codes available easily? So they could.
Yeah.
And it's that expectation of what is happening to my data. And I suppose, you know, I was talking to Julia and Phil about this earlier. Our big concern, and we keep bringing it up time and time again, is that the care.data team project have got responsibility for fair processing and helping you to fair process for the GP extraction. There's a bigger question here, and that is, how is data which is collected for direct care used for other purposes? By whom and for what? Because what we're seeing is other things running, like the gentleman mentioning hospital episode statistics, like clinical practice research data link, like all this little mini care.data that CCGs are starting to run throughout the country. If everybody's going to fair process their own fair processing communications and materials for all of these things, we're all going to disappear under a pizza leaflets or texts or whatever it is, and we're not really going to understand what's going on. There really needs to be, and we've brought this up with DOH and NHS England, a higher communication about when the NHS gets your data, it intends to use it in two separate ways, for your direct clinical care and for other purposes, such as all these things, and this is why. Then we can start to drill down a bit further. So as a GP, you've got a small bit of it, and it's about, you know, it could be leaflets, it could be text, it could be, but it's got to be supported by a national campaign, because your actual legal obligation is only to tell people it's happening. That national campaign and those national materials have to be available for you. And the other was about
opt-out period.
Opt-out periods. Because it's not a legal opt-out, then we haven't got involved in that. We have literally just said to them, it is not a right to opt out. It is an opportunity to object. And in order to be fair, you need to make sure you've determined a consistent process across the UK which will say, this is what it is, this is how you initiate it, this is how long you've got to do it, this is how it will be audited. And possibly, we made the suggestion, and possibly that every 12 months, every 2 years, whatever you determine, you know, you re-engage in whatever way you can to say, are you still happy we're doing this, or do you wish to opt out?
That's great. On that note of the idea of doing it every year, that's a new suggestion that I've not heard before, and I can see many colleagues smiling in the audience. Anyway, thank you ever so much. That's really very useful.